Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I was looking through the five-time and honorary five-time champions here, and this is good. Remember Eric on Yahtzee with Baldy?
Yes.
Remember Caleb Imatolo? How about the Mississippi Valley State announcers?
Yes.
Oh, they were great.
Back there in March. That was incredible. You know, the Irving City Council with Tiny, Peyton Russell's G-Bag of the Day Ranger song. Remember that? That was gold.
So bad it was good.
Chris Arnold on the O.J. Simpson chase.
Oh, yeah.
With the Dissa Freakin' Beard. Man, there's some good stuff in there. Brought us first Woolchuck. Brought us on Stephen Jones.
Jeez.
I noticed.
Wasn't even voted, all right? We got ourselves out of there.
Oh, is that the rant? I went on the Stephen Jones rant, the comfortable rant.
Yeah, it was a good rant.
The best darn Dion impersonation. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen with KMC. The Jerry Rowdy story. So much good stuff. And you'll hear the G-Bag of the Year coming up on Friday. It's time now for Woolchuck to deliver some more sports to you.
All right, saw Jeremy Fowler report. Pete Carroll spent most of yesterday with the Raiders at their headquarters interviewing. He's also speaking to the Bears and certainly could be on the Cowboys' radar, according to Jeremy Fowler.
So, who's that?
Pete Carroll. Former head coach, of course, of Seattle and the USC Trojans. So he's just interviewed with the Raiders. He's going to interview with the Bears. And then who knows? Maybe he ends up getting an interview with the Cowboys at some point.
Do you guys take anything from the Mike McCarthy story? They want to do a short-term deal. Does that suggest that they're looking for a short-term coach? Maybe they're not looking for a marriage, more of a dating situation here for this next guy, because they're going to have to ride out another year of suck, maybe two.
Yeah, I think that, to me, I'd lean that was more Mike specific for the fact of, like, if you just had another bad year, it's going to be fire Mike McCarthy, right?
Yeah.
So, like, why do I want to get into a 4 or 5 year deal with a coach that I'm going to maybe revisit firing after a year?
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe it could be like a prove it type of deal for a young coach if that's the route they end up going, like somebody that's not, doesn't have an experience like Kellen Moore. I don't know. It's possible.
That's why I kind of think like Schottenheimer could make some sense, or Zimmer could make some sense, a guy in the building, or you're giving a young guy like Kellen Moore his first shot.
Yeah. I kind of feel like, though, that with Mike, he saw it as just disrespect. You know, it just like, listen, you know, you're talking about this, I'm talking about that. We just can't come to a realization. I admire Mike for just walking away from it. And I really like, you know, hey, you're not going to give me a 2-year deal and disrespect me here.
Yeah.
And have to deal with this all over again.
I have to feel appreciated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't blame him.
I don't blame him at all for not feeling that.
Yeah. No. Yep. In fact, honestly, kudos to him for doing that.
Yeah.
He did a lot of good things here in Dallas. And if you don't want to appreciate that, then that's fine. And now he's going to go and interview with the Bears tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then indications are he's going to speak to the Saints early next week. Don't have a firm date yet, according to Ian Rappaport. But he's going to have an opportunity to get either of those two jobs. We'll see if one of them decides to hire them, to hire Mike McCarthy. Now, here's Jason Garrett. This is audio. Thanks to Bobby Belt for putting this on our radar. Just was able to go and pull this. But we're going to start off with Garrett here, and he is discussing, you know, what kind of coach works in Dallas.
There's no doubt that ownership is involved. Jerry Jones is the general manager of the team, so he's the owner/general manager is involved, and he should be. That's how the organization's set up. So I think you have to be an excellent communicator. I think you have to be an excellent leader. And when I say communicator and leader, it's not only communicating and leading to your staff and to your team, it's also leading upward in the organization. I think you have to have a really clear vision for what you want the team to be. And this is what I want it to look like as a team, an offense, defense, kicking game. These are the kind of players we want to have. And I think you have to be able to clearly articulate that and get everybody on the same page. The teams that have success in the NFL are aligned. They're aligned from ownership to general manager to head coach to coordinators, quarterback, all the way down through. Look at the obvious examples: Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, some of the other ones, the teams that are there year after year. So you're trying to create alignment. And when you're the head coach, you're really in charge of that. You're in charge of the creating the vision and letting everybody know that this is what we want this team to look like. And we have to be disciplined to making the decisions to make this vision come alive. And I think it can be challenging in Dallas because of the ownership general manager, but also can be advantageous in Dallas because the ownership and the general manager is the same guy. So it's incumbent upon you to do a great job communicating what the vision is, being disciplined to that. And when we did that, when I was the head coach there, we drafted really good players and we had really good teams. And when we deviated from that and we were less disciplined, we weren't quite as good. And I think that's a really important thing to understand.
And this is courtesy of Kevin Clark and his podcast with Jason Garrett. A lot of good information there. Obviously, I don't know that anybody knows the organization and really what goes on better than Jay Geezy. I mean, he did it as a quarterback, as a player, as an assistant coach when he was offensive coordinator, and then as the head coach. I mean, there's a reason he lasted a decade. He understood how to kind of maneuver and navigate working in that alignment that he's talking about from the owner and general manager, which is Jerry Jones. Now, Kevin Clark followed up and said, well, if Jerry came to you, Jason, and said, should he do anything differently, what would you say?
Well, Jerry's 82 years old, and he's done things a certain way for a long, long time. So, I think if you go in there as the head coach, you have to embrace what those dynamics are.
Yeah.
And you have to learn. I learned a tremendous amount from Jerry Jones during my time there as a player, as an assistant coach, and as a head coach. He's a really, really bright, bright guy who has great perspective on a lot of things inside and outside of football. So, having a beginner's mind and someone who wants to learn from someone like that, I think it's important, but then also having your own vision about how things need to be and being able to communicate that vision is critical. I don't think you should spend a lot of time trying to change Jerry Jones. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you have to understand what his strengths are and then maybe some of the areas where you guys can work together to make the organization better than it's been in recent years.
Don't beat me up for this too much, but I think, man, I think Jason Garrett had a lot of the right answers, to what you were just saying. Yeah. Nobody understands the organization better. Mm-hmm. If his schemes had just been better, if they'd had a better defense, in 14 and 16, if Romo had stayed healthy in 16, he looked pretty damn good in that Eagles drive, didn't he? Like, what could he have done if you could go back and do some of those things different? Because I think he nailed it, It's managing up. It's being able to get that message home to ownership about what you need to do. And then he talked about alignment, right? And from the owner to the GM to the coach, the quarterback and all the coordinators and everything. He did a great job at that, and I would say, the next coach needs to listen to that, take notes, and talk to Jason Garrett about how he made that part of it work so well. You have to understand, I'm going to try to sell Jerry Jones on my vision and communicate to it, manage upward. But whatever I can't get done in that department, we need to create alignment. And he said it, it's the coach's job to do that. So if the owner and general manager are doing things that you don't like, you can't let the players know that. You have to say, yeah, that's what I think too, right? And almost swallow your pride. You're not going to have autonomy. You're not going to be able to, be the controller of all the things like most coaches are used to. But if you can convince the players that Jerry and I just happen to be on the same page, right? And then ask Jerry, like, what are your ideas that I can actually hold people accountable and disciplined on, right? Can I cut this dude? Can I cut that dude? Who am I sending to the asthma field today, Jerry? because I got to have some kind of a hammer when I walk through here. We know, you and I know, you're the man, okay? Yeah. I bow to you, but give me something here so I can create some accountability and discipline.
It is. It's tremendous balance of like almost I've got to find a way to stroke the ego over here, you know, but then also I need to make sure that the team understands I'm still the decision maker, even though that they know maybe that that's not true. You've got to find a way to fool them and pretend that it is true. So it is. It's an incredibly difficult task here. But to Jason's point, maybe there are some advantageous avenues to that with how the structure is here in Dallas.
No, I don't think I think it's a challenge. There's no advantage to it. I think he said that out of deference and respect.
Yeah, I think it's more so an absolute beatdown, which is probably why you've seen Mike say, you know what, thanks, but no thanks.
But his understanding of it is how he got to be below average schematically and stay for 9 years.
Yeah, and that's how he was able to do so. Good stuff there from Jason Garrett, and I apologize. I think you know there might be some Tolos driving around that just got some PTSD. I know Jason Mid just hit me up on Twitter.
I love hearing him. I think in this role, he's really good.
I think that he's good in the studio broadcasting role, but almost fell asleep at the wheel listening to Garrett there. Oh, gosh, please, no. That voice every day he had to go.
He sounds like AI.
He does. He's robotic. Very robotic. It's Jason Garrett. Okay, let's get to Peyton Manning. Now, Peyton was getting ready for Vikings and the Rams, and he was asked, hey, which head coach would you most like to play for in the NFL today?
I'm going with Kevin O'Connell, who I don't really know personally. Eli is talking to him on Saturday. You know, I have McVay and Stafford this weekend. Eli has O'Connell and Sam Darnold. That's kind of our routine. And I kind of sent Kevin O'Connell a cold text. I just said, I apologize. You're going to have to talk to Eli on Saturday. It's 10 minutes. You'll never get back. And I also sent him, Belichick and I did our breakdown show. It comes out today at 2:30 Eastern. About eight Great people show. Will watch that. Eight people will watch that show. Bill's in a coat
nine,
and tie.
Nine.
Thank you. Bill's in a coat and tie. It's our last one. Bill dressed up big for this show. You know, I wore the same quarter zip that I wear every Monday night. But I sent it to O'Connell, and I said, hey, this is 20 minutes. You'll never get back of staring at me and Bill Belichick's hair. But I have a lot of respect for the way you coach. I just like how he does it. And I'm just an observer, right? And I think that moment when Darnold jumps into the locker room and they celebrate a couple weeks ago, he's just standing back watching. This kind of tells you everything you know about Kevin O'Connell, that, hey, it's about the players. It's about me putting them in a position to succeed. I'm just going to kind of sit back and watch this. But you see this kind of smile on his face. He's got no ego. I think he's a dynamic play caller. So I'm going with Kevin O'Connell.
It's a great answer. McVay or KOK, I think you can go with. I love Kevin O'Connell. Now, I did see the Seahawks. They're kind of jumping ahead of like trying to pick off who's the Vikings offensive guy that's like the next in line under O'Connell.
He's got it figured out, doesn't he, with hiring a staff?
He does. He's done a fantastic job. So now the Seahawks have requested an interview with Vikings assistant offensive coordinator / assistant quarterbacks coach Grant Udinski for their vacant offensive coordinator job. He's 28 years old. He's been a vital part of Kevin O'Connell's operation and clearly on the coaching fast track. In fact, Mike Garofalo found an article from the Star Tribune there in Minnesota why Grant Udinski is the Vikings' most interesting coach. So this is the type of forward thinking that I'm looking for here from organizations. Kudos to Seattle for doing their homework, and we'll see. Maybe they end up hiring Udinski, and he ends up leading that Seattle offense to the promised land.
Yeah, you know, I think if I was the Cowboys right now, I would really like the idea of keeping Mike Zimmer, a head coach, and then picking somebody off the O'Connell, McVay, Shanahan tree and seeing where this thing goes offensively. I think that's the best case scenario we can hope for.
Well, who's the Kubiak, the Saints OC? He's out there looking for a job that we were all praising the first couple of weeks. I mean, granted, he started losing pieces, right?
Yeah.
Was it Clint Kubiak?
Yeah.
And Kamara's an easy button.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, he did some things that we enjoyed. You know, maybe that's a guy that it sounded like Steven and Jerry were praising the hell out of this dude after week two. Maybe he's someone that you bring in and you look at as an offensive coordinator, if not a head coach. I don't think that he's head coach ready, but they're looking at Kellen Moore. Do we think Kellen Moore is head coach ready?
No.
Falcons have interviewed Wink Martindale.
Not OC ready.
No, I agree. For their defensive coordinator opening after they fired Jimmy Lake. They're also going to be looking at several other coordinators as well. But Wink, maybe just 1 year back in college, and he ends up making it back to the NFL there with the Falcons. And then who was it? Which SEC coach slid into Sydney Thomas's DMs? If you don't know who Sydney Thomas is, she was the ring girl at the Jake Paul fight. The blonde with, big cans.
Oh, yeah, and Zion shot at her?
Which may have been a ball sacking, I don't know.
Okay, I was hoping.
In our world, we're going to pretend that it was real. But I guess one of Sydney's friends, Maddie Muir, fellow model, screenshotted which SEC coach it was, slid into her DMs and said, "Roll Tide," because she's an Alabama gal. Who do you think it was? Yeah, one guess. SEC coach. Who do you think did it?
Sark?
Lane. Sark's not a bad one, but Lane Kiffin. At least from this, and who knows, AI's a
I was going to say the
machine.
Auburn dude.
Hugh Freeze. Good pull.
Hugh Freeze is kind of
a... Hugh would have. Hey, I got some recruits coming in. Yeah. Can you go ahead and bring this in? But no, Sydney Thomas, not Sydney Sweeney. If I said Sweeney, I apologize. Very similar talents there between Sydney Thomas and Sydney Sweeney.
Both hot names, though.
Yeah, in both Sydneys, 100%. But yeah, it seems like it was Lane Kiffin, and this would be something Lane would do. There's just no shame in that, man. And somewhat, hey, kudos to you, sir.
Thank you, Will Chuck.
Thank you.
There it is. It is the G-Back Nation here on The Fan. It's been an incredible day of talking sports with you. All the reaction to the Deion Sanders news from last night, people trying to make sense of that. And we have a wild card plus college football semifinal edition of TD Tuesday coming up. Isn't that right, Will Chuck?
Damn right
it
is.
Perfect transition from Sydney Thomas to the best touchdowns of the football weekend.
Why do you think I saved the best pair for last?
What a segue. Yes, the audio celebration of Wild Card Weekend coming up next. It's the G-Back Nation.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The Fan. Welcome back, Nation. This segment of The Fan is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Here they are, Woolchuck and Chia Follow. You know what time it is. Shake them up.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let's do it. Let's relive the best TDs from your college football playoff and the NFL playoffs for another edition of TD Tuesday.
Boom shakalak, boom shakalak, boom shakalak, TD Tuesday shakalak.
Woo! It's playoff TD!
They get bigger and bigger as the season goes on. Postseason TDs, there's nothing like them. And I'm sorry, okay, we are going to delay the first TD in your face because we start with Vikings Radio, Monday Night Football. Sam Darnold S-ing the bed, took a record number of sacks. Not even that thousand dude chick has seen as many sacks as what Sam Darnold saw last night. Well, Chuck, you know that. That's verified. This is Vikings Radio just beside themselves. They hate Sam Darnold.
Him, Aaron Jones, Addison in motion to the right. Two receivers left. Rams blitz. Darnold gets away from it. Steps up in the pocket. He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Just run.
At the 25-yard line, he's sacked for a fifth time.
Just throw it, man. Damn.
And I haven't heard of that mad since Brett, Favre. Threw that pick back in the day.
Good save. Good save. Yeah, they were ticked, and rightly so. I think we were all looking at that very play and saying, why the hell did you not throw the football? In fact, they pan over to Kevin O'Connell, and Kevin O'Connell's just going, no!
What an absolute boner.
Dude, stop.
Vikings have it bad, dude. Are they one of the most cursed in the world of sport?
We were just talking about this. I think so. Most playoff appearances without a Super Bowl in NFL history. They've got 32. They've never won a championship. In fact, they're now the oldest franchise in all of the major pro sports to not have a championship.
It's 1960, bad. Right?
0 for 32 in the playoffs, man.
Yeah. It's bad. I mean, it does come back down to quarterback. Other than Cunningham,
Culpepper,
and then the 1 year of Favre, I mean, Culpepper was all right because of Randy Moss.
Right.
Yeah. I just don't think they've had the right guy at the right position.
Yeah, maybe J.J. McCarthy or
Fran Tarkenton back in the day.
Yeah,
yeah, that's when they won it, right? Purple Peel leaders?
They went.
They lost. But that was the Dolphins.
Bowl, but they made it at least.
Yeah.
Okay. They made it. They've never made it back.
Heartbreaking.
Since Franny.
All right, we're going to go chronological here with the TDs from the weekend. We start Friday night, probably the height of football entertainment, if you really look back. I mean, what Ohio State and Texas brought to the table at AT&T Stadium was nothing short of just absolutely fantastic. Let's go right before halftime. The call of the weekend, Chip Kelly in his bag, and there goes Henderson.
Snap to Will Howard. Back to pass. Pressure coming. Howard in trouble. Dumps it down on the right side. Caught by Henderson. Runs to the Ohio State 25, to the 30, to the 35. Loose to the 40, to the 50. Down the right side goes Travion Henderson. And he's going to take it all the way to the house. Travion Henderson on a little slip screen out the right side. 75 yards to pay dirt.
It's a hell of a call.
There you go, Buckeye Radio. I actually thought there should have been more enthusiasm. My jaw was to the floor. Oh, yeah, the Chip
that
Kelly
call. Was weak. Buckeyes Radio's not that strong. They're really not.
That's a shirts and pants go flying off in the booth moment right there. Been. That's a lose your mind, holy
I think
S.
Jim Lachey, the old tackle. I think Jim Lachey is one
Nick's,
of the...
Nick's cousin. Cousin dad. It was his cousin.
From the grave. Yeah. They're a very spiritual family. All right, from Ohio State, let's go to Texas. Here's our buddy Craig Way. Quinny, going to Blue.
Snap back to Quinn. Look at pressure coming. Throws downfield. There's Blue. 10 to the 5. Touchdown, Texas. They've done it again. How about that combo? Ewers to Blue, this time for a 26-yard score.
Shout out to Texas, and what was a hell of a play there. Jaden Blue's going to the draft. In fact, man, they're going to have to remake their entire offensive line, their entire receiving core, their backfield. Now, they did have a couple of big studs go down for injury, but that's going to be a very different-looking Texas offense with Arch Manning at the helm next year for the Horns.
It's Arch time, and they get immediate redemption. Not that it'll feel like winning in a playoff game, of course, but they start their season at the Shoe.
They plant the flag at midfield if they win.
I'm going to go no.
I'm going to go no there. Yeah.
I'm going to go no. Even though Arch has surprised me with like some of his just general level of confidence and his swagger, it is. But perhaps.
He might go full Baker.
It might be in store. But let's go ahead to the moment, the walk-off moment when the former roommate of Quinn Ewers, Captain Jack Sawyer, made Buckeye history.
Ewers set to toss. Ewers being chased. Hit by Jack Sawyer. Knocked the ball out. Sawyer's picked it up, and he's running down the right side. Jack Sawyer hits the 50-yard line to the Texas 40. Sawyer to the 30, to the 20 of Texas. Jack Sawyer is going to take it into the end zone. His second fumble recovery of the season. Jack Sawyer, Ohio State defensive end. He finally got to Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers, and Jack Sawyer races it into the end zone to give Ohio State a 27-14 lead over Texas.
I love the nugget we got from Will Chambers after this play. He was in the building, of course, and all the Buckeye fans just started motorboating. They were looking forward to Jack this moment. One of the most legendary TDs in Buckeye history, Captain Jack Sawyer, man.
Captain Jack making it happen. All right, let's go from college to the National Football League. Houston, of course, they got that 3:30 Saturday afternoon slot, and they're getting pick sixes for TDs.
Herbert looking, firing left side, and intercepted. Murray across the 20, 15, 10, 5, rock and roll, pick 6. NRG Stadium is rocking as Eric Murray makes a house call. The Texans up 2 scores.
Good for the Texans Radio Network there.
And
thanks,
it was
Justin.
It was pretty much a close the book situation after that. The game was out of hand, but Justin Herbert, Ladd McConkey, they love themselves some garbage time TDs.
Steps up in the pocket. McConkey with a grab, and McConkey to the races. 50, 40, McConkey 30, 20, 10. Touchdown, Chargers on a 3rd and 26, 86-yard touchdown.
Big old TD.
Matt Money Smith with the call. And yeah, that Herbert McConkey connection. We're going to be hearing that for many, many years to come. All right, let's go to Baltimore, the nightcap. The Ravens. It's Lamar Jackson to Justice Hill for the TD.
Lamar takes the snap. Blitz pressure coming. He pumps once. Pocket collapsing. He backs up to the 20. Steps up. Throws complete. Hill has it. Touchdown, Ravens! Lamar Jackson extended the play. Justice Hill got open, and the Ravens are on the cusp of blowing the Steelers out.
Did the color guy say he's throwing the ball away?
Yeah, he said throw it away.
He was encouraging him to throw it away.
He threw it away, and then he ends up throwing a touchdown.
You're fired.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those crazy Lamar plays. It was one of those crazy Lamar plays.
And then he just starts laughing afterwards.
Every other quarterback in the history of football should probably throw that ball away. Live to play another down. Lamar Jackson's like, no. I'm good.
Not
I'm going to get the TD. Speaking of Raven TDs, here we go. This was Derrick Henry. This is the play that Lamar Jackson likened to Derrick Henry to Lightning McQueen. 44 yards, stumbling, bumbling, Bader.
Jackson will hand it off. Derrick Henry up the middle. He's in the 30, 20, leg race, gone. Touchdown, Derrick Henry. And they're going wild at M&T.
Heck of a run, heck of a play. And now we get the battle. Buffalo, Baltimore, collision course, the MVP candidates.
Let's go.
Stud rushing attacks. This is going to be gorgeous.
We get Cook versus the King. We get Lamar versus Allen. This is going to be epic.
I think we're going to be getting a ridiculous amount of TDs in that game.
I hope so. I hope that literally the entire folder is just Raven and Bills TDs.
There's never a point in time where you're like, okay, enough with the TDs, but this might be one of those games.
An overload on TDs? Yeah.
Maybe just like a Joy Taylor game of the week, TD style. Yeah.
That suffocation,
I like
no
what
breathing.
You did there.
All right, let's get to Denver, the Broncos Radio Network with the call. They were feeling themselves early as the Oregon Duck connection was on fire.
Shotgun snap to Knicks. Protection is good. Bold loads it up. He's got it. A receiver there. Franklin makes the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Denver. 43-yard strike. Bo Knicks to his college teammate, Troy Franklin.
Historical TD there. The first rookie-to-rookie playoff touchdown in NFL history.
Wow.
Absolutely insane. Didn't like those bright. I didn't like the color clash there.
Yeah,
I think the Broncos uniforms stink.
It was just that color clash.
That was bad. That was awful.
All the new look jerseys that came out this year, I think, were crap.
That was a bad look.
The Texans were gross. The Broncos' old uniforms were fine. They were fantastic.
Just wear the orange crush uniforms.
Or just wear those all the time. Yeah. But they're the new trimming, like what the NFL's trying to do with these new jerseys, not a fan.
All right, let's get to the James Cookin for a 5-yard TD.
Here's the snap. Hand off to Cook. Through a hole on the left side. Squirts away and reaches for the end zone, and he is in. James Cook with a 5-yard touchdown run as the cook is in the kitchen. And the Bills have their first lead of the game.
Oh, he was cooking away in that kitchen.
Bills radio with the call.
Ooh, cookies getting cooking.
You got to squirt your way in there sometimes.
All right, let's go to Eagles radio. The man with the swollen tongue that loves him some Brian. Let's see if he's able to make a good call here. Jalen Hurts to Dallas Goedert. This should be an epic call, right?
Hurts in the gun. Hurts takes the football. He is going to throw. He does in the flat. The nice catch by Goddard, who breaks the tackle across the five. Touchdown, Goddard.
He did. That was. It's like one of the first times I've ever seen not one, not two, not even three. I think it was four stiff arms on one guy on the same play, just absolutely toying with Valentine, the defender.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert, a fantastic play. Merrill Reese with a sub call there, and I think maybe is it Harold Carmichael?
Mike Quick.
Mike Quick. Shout out to Mike. He kind of saved it there.
I think it's Mike Quick Michael.
He's a quick Michael.
Now, that was a hell of a color clash. I'll tell you what.
Oh, it was good.
Eagles, yeah. Packers. Those are that was an iconic four quarters of uniforms right there. I really enjoyed that aesthetic.
Weird stat. 10 years in a row, either the Packers or Eagles have been in the divisional round of the playoffs. It's wild.
Wow. Good for them. All right, let's get to Sunday Night Football. This is where Jaden Daniels put everyone, every defender, even Todd Bowles, the head coach for the Bucs, was in the Jaden Daniels blender for four quarters. He kicks off the proceedings with a TD to Mr. Brown.
Here's the snap to Daniels. He's got time. Surveys, throws, back in the end zone, wide open! De'Ami Brown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington!
Dude, oh, wide my open!
How do you like me down Tampa Bay? Jaden Daniels with a tremendous throw for the touchdown!
What a drive!
What a drive!
Man, those guys, they bring the heat. They bring do. The power, the electricity. I have booth envy. Those guys too. They're living the football dream right now.
They're fantastic, as is Gene. The gift that keeps on giving, the one and only Tampa Bay Buccaneers radio call, Gene Dekeroff. Baker finding Mike Evans.
First and goal. Evans throws off a caught ball. Is it caught? Yes. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans, fire the cannons. The Bucs are a point away from tying this game.
Gosh, Mike Evans.
Was that a touchdown?
Ball caught. Yes. On fire. Cannon fire.
Mike Evans was just abusing Marshawn Lattimore. I had so much joy watching that.
I feel for Evans. Mike Evans needs to get himself a championship before he retires. He probably needs to get out of Tampa.
Yeah, yeah. He might, and he can.
I guess he did win one with
and
Brady.
And he will until he doesn't.
Go ahead and dump that. He's got a championship. I'm a schmuck.
Baker Mayfield, once again, the party's not over. More TDs. Here goes Bucky Irving.
Play action, a bootleg roll, fast football, Bucky Irving, touchdown Tampa Bay, Irving's first career receiving touchdown, and the Bucs take the lead, 16-13.
Cannon firing. Man, last time we get to hear Gene this year, I'm going to miss you, Gene. Till next fall, I love you. All right, let's wrap it up here, or don't. All right, final touchdown at TD Tuesday, Jaden Daniels finding scary Darry McLaurin.
Here's the snap. Daniels to throw for it. Backpedaling into the end zone.
What a play.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! 5-17! A clutch play in the lead! Unbelievable. How clutch is this guy?
He's unbelievably clutch.
He is clutch, yeah.
He is unbelievably
Jaden,
clutch.
Damn, Daniels back at it again with the clutch TD.
Daniels.
And there it is.
Nice job, boys. Thank you so much. An audio celebration, a wild card weekend. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. When we come back, it's going to be time to cross with the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you on a Tuesday night next, the Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Have we found out about Kyrie Irving yet? I know the Stars are tied at one. Standing by here for some updates as the Mavs get set for a rematch against the Denver Nuggets.
I'm going to say Kai's in.
Been talking a lot about the Cowboys coaching search once again with you today, and it's time now to hand off that broadcast baton to Fred and Blake, the Fan After Dark, coming up here from 7 to 11. Gentlemen, good evening.
Doing well, feeling blessed, and I believe Kyrie Irving is trending towards playing. I haven't seen any setbacks.
He is available.
Yeah, nice. So it seems like he will be able to play. You're still going to be without Luka, obviously. I'm waiting for Dante Exum. Seems like he might not come back until
after the All-Star break.
Didn't you say it would be All-Star break for him?
I mean,
is that what it is?
I thought so.
Okay. I'm just ready for him to come back, but some other guys have stepped up, but now maybe we can lighten the load on a Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Jaden Hardy, maybe, you know, we don't need you to have the ball the entire game.
Dinwiddie looked exhausted at the end of that Denver game.
Yeah. See, that's the thing is they catch teams by surprise, and then it comes down to crunch time, and you're playing against Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Russ by surprise. Legs are dead, and Quentin Grimes not. He's played really well, but like he'll have a stinker here and there, but yeah. It's a role player.
Do we hear anything new about Luka, or is it still after the All-Star break?
I want to say it was still probably going to be until after the All-Star break, but me and Fred have been up on the socials, and from all the videos coming out of him at practice, seems to be walking around pretty well, dribbling the basketball, getting shots up. Like I would say like a non-contact kind of guy right now, like doing basketball-related things. He's not in a wheelchair. He's not on the scooter. He's not just sitting down, but he's definitely not 5-on-5, you know.
He's joshing with teammates.
Yeah, joshing with teammates, jumping up and down. So
good sign.
I would say there's no reason to rush him back. I mean, I'd rather be the eighth seed than rush him back and him get hurt prematurely. So I think there's no reason to rush him back. And you've seen this team can win without him, and they definitely can win without him when they have Kyrie.
Woolchuk's top 10 today. Best sandwiches. Cheesesteak won it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had me at Muff Sandwich.
So. The Muffalata. By the way, clarification on that, the spot in New Orleans that does the Muffalata has been closed since the most recent hurricane. Had a lot of water damage down there. So I think... we're going to the Big Easy and coming back without that Muffalata experience, unfortunately.
Someone explain to me what a Muffalata is.
We're going to get ourselves some muffs.
We'll find one.
It's a fancy Italian
muff,
sandwich.
Hey, we'll find the muff.
Okay.
It's all about the bread.
Bread does go a long way.
Sandwiches are hard for me and Dawson, I would assume, because we're not a mayonnaise. And, you know, we don't like the nasty stuff on there. So what is your typical cold sandwich?
Typical cold sandwich is probably the Italian with just meats and cheese and then lettuce. I don't do the onions or tomatoes, but I will do that oil and vinegar mix at Mike's. Okay.
I might have to try the oil and vinegar mix to give it a little bit of juice in there so it's not dry.
Makes it drippy. Yeah.
I like bacon. Child. I like bacon. I like grilled onions. I like the assortment of meats on there. Cheeses, of course.
It's a muffaletta.
That's a muffaletta, what
yeah,
I just named?
Yeah, yeah. It's made with cured meats, provolone cheese, and a tangy olive dressing and a round sesame seed to roll. The sandwich is a New Orleans classic and a must-try food for visitors.
Are you doing a read or...
I'm kind of hungry.
I'm ready to get out of here.
What kind of bread is it?
Oh, no, it's a huge sandwich, and when you divide it up, I mean, you can have it for like 2 days.
It's only one size?
Aren't there olives in the muff, though?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there's olives in the muff. Yeah.
Why didn't you mention that? That's a no-go for me.
I could be touch and go.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't even know how those are considered edible, but some people really like them. Is there a more unique place to eat in all the country than New Orleans?
San Francisco.
Yeah.
So. New York.
You know, the last
New York
time.
New York with all the different
ethnic cuisines.
Yeah, exactly. I think that down in Miami is becoming that way now.
But they all have like American cuisine or the different countries. Like New Orleans has its own vibe and style more so than others.
It does. And it's that, like I say, there's a lot more to it. I mean, they've got some French places in New Orleans that are really, really good. I'll tell you another good city for restaurants is Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They've got some really good downtown restaurants that are world class.
The Italian food, top notch and filthy. Also, when I did a food tour of NOLA when I went for the 30th birthday, the Vietnamese food. Yeah. Apparently, they've got a big time Vietnamese.
Pho? Is that pho?
Pho, yeah, part pho. Of that noodles. But they've got a big Vietnamese population there in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
You know, it's funny. It's when my brother lived there, you know, he, after Katrina, one thing that they don't have in New Orleans, they don't have Mexican food.
Mm.
And my brother said, he says, you know what? It's funny. The Hispanics came in and rebuilt the city. They came in on the construction crews and all that. And he goes, the Mexican food improved.
I bet
He said there were some guys at state, guys, gals, whatever, opened places because all the workforce was there helping rebuild the city. And he said the Mexican food really improved with the rebuild of the city.
Interesting. Yeah. Makes sense.
Well, that's a big win. I feel like we're doing all right in that department here.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Are we the spot in America for Mexican food, or is there another spot? In
Los Angeles might be.
I was going to say, SoCal would be the only place I could think could go pound for pound with Texas.
Are we different? Because we got the Tex-Mex.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm touching Brian.
I think Californian is probably more authentic than what Texas. I think there's the spin, because we got what Hurtado and those others have done by taking the barbecue and mixing it with the
Texas.
We've got barbecue and Mexican. We've got two
together. Together is glorious.
Really now, I'll tell you, glorious and together is that Mexican cheese blend that you get at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah. Authentic
with that cheese, more Tex-Mex.
Yeah. That's more Tex-Mex, I think, right there.
I love it.
Oaxaca cheese and all that. Yeah.
Are you guys tracking the stalker story with Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, dude from Denton.
Yeah, well, he says he's homeless and he actually lives in his car.
I saw that.
But maybe originally from Denton.
That's not the player
I would choose to have a stalker, but apparently he's a big fan of her game or something.
He really is, and they showed some of the text messages.
He really is.
He's wild.
Yeah.
I did not see the text
messages. I mean, obviously, he's a psychopath. I mean, let's call it what it is. He kind of gives you Manson-ish vibes. Have you seen the picture?
No, I haven't seen the picture yet.
Yeah, no. I mean, he looks, I mean, he's going to stalk anybody.
When do you, as a celebrity?
I was just happy it wasn't Mike Peasley, you know, when I saw the name.
Yeah.
I saw the first name, I was like, oh. Well, what are we doing here?
He ain't gonna be stalking your girl, Cambridge. We gotta tell you that much.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think that's. Yeah,
looks like she's got a lot of fans on OnlyFans though, making big money, more money than she ever made in the WNBA.
She is.
Are other girls gonna follow suit now? Is this a bad trend for
This is how you know the WNBA is making it. I mean, if we're being honest. I mean, I know that's not what you want to hear, but
I would think like TV ratings or fan interest would be a better sign.
But I'm just saying, like, now we didn't hear about how many people were getting stalked before this. I mean,
you're relating to other story. I thought we were at Liz. We're talking about Liz.
I'm talking about the stalker,
and that's why you're a fad. This is a fad. The fads.
Okay.
Right. All the right. Fatties.
That's right.
Thank you so much. What's coming up on the show tonight, gentlemen?
Yeah, a fatty. 7:20. We got David Hellman.
We'll
be talking all things Dallas Cowboys coaching search. We got an audio dump. Trying a new segment today that Fred's trying to come up with a name of that.
That's it. Gerald McCoy is going to join us later this week as well. Him coming on.
Former Cowboy for a couple months.
Him,
for a few minutes.
OU guy. He's on NFL Network, so he's going to join us later this week.
You don't need to ask us for help. You got Gerald McCoy coming on the show.
Come on, man. We're trying. Let's go. Rub it in.
We're crushing it.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Just went 5 flawless once again. Thanks to Wolchuk and Schiafalo and Brian Broaddus. Fan After Dark is coming up next with Fred and Blake. Have a great evening, gentlemen. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.